Ladies and fellows, men, welcome back to the No Script Podcast. It's your boy B-Rack alongside with Dan Dutton.
What up?
What's going on, my dude?
Just living, man. Just having a good time over here.
Back at it again with, is this episode 30?
This is episode 30.
It's episode 30. I was just taking a stab in the dark. I wasn't really 100% sure.
Yeah, 30 total recorded. We still have that, you know, one that was posted and rescinded. But that still counts.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, so that one still counts towards our 30? I forgot about that one.
Yeah, because that was like episode 20 something. So it's like I didn't go back here and name everything.
That was a really good one. I think we need to bring him back.
Yeah, bring him back. Get him out of traffic. He was out there moderating traffic while we were recording, or cars, buses, kids. Pretty sure there's a car accident in the background somewhere.
Actually, we got to bring the hater in too.
Yeah, we should bring both of them in.
That would be
we'll moderate on No Script.
Excuse me. Yeah, I don't even think Caleb ever like told me like the name, so like that'd be cool. But shout out to the hater though, because he did listen to the podcast, so it's the only way he would have known. So this is we just had a guest last session. We had Rob, but Rob's a frequent flyer. He's been on like 8 podcasts already, so
yeah, he's working on his own No Script business card at this point.
He's basically a co-star. So we have a new guest, a new one. And Dan, I'll let you go ahead and kind of like jump this one off, present this man here that we've known for a while.
Yeah. So it's funny how we got back in touch. My man was selling some concert tickets on Facebook. And I know my sister-in-law was a fan of the artist. So I was like, hey, you got those tickets? I was like, I'll get them for you. You know, do something nice for buy some tickets. So we started talking and he was like, hey, man, I've been listening to the podcast. And I was like, dude. Open door. Let us know when you want to come in. So we got our boy Johnny OVO back from high school, man. It's been a while since we've seen you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
And this is a pleasant surprise, man, because your name, I haven't, man, John Vasquez. If you went to Port High School.
I don't go by John anymore, bro. John makes me sound 40, bro. I don't go by John.
Did we not call you John literally like the whole time through high school? I don't ever remember calling you Johnny, bro.
All right, I'll tell you this. The only people who called me John were the people I went to Fagley with, because I was too scared to be like, hey, call me Johnny.
But we all went to Fagley, though, so that's appropriate. Yeah. Like, we knew you from back then. That's crazy. But I'm gonna stick to John, man. I mean, that's just what I've known. That's like the bread and butter. But literally, if you knew this guy from Fagley Middle School all the way to Portage High School, like hands down, he's got to be like top 5 like funniest dudes in school. Big class clown.
Disrespectful, bro. Top 2, not 2. You know.
Okay, I figured that's where this was going. I was like, he might not like top 5. I was like, he might say top 3.
Oh, that's funny, dude. When we were actually, I was telling him when we were messaging back and forth today, I was telling how every now and then we bring up that story from strength training class.
Yeah, it's funny. Do you remember that, John?
Yeah. Discus.
I forgot what we were doing. This dude takes the 10-pound rubber plate, so they're all the same size, same diameter as the 45s and all the ones in between. This dude takes it, whips it across the weight room. He's like, discus. And literally as it lands, Ryan Kardash walks in. He's like, John. He's like, that wasn't me. That was Demas. Like a bold face slide to this teacher's face.
Oh, shit. It's like we just got to the weight. It was like right in the beginning of the
We just started lifting, bro.
He just got in there. He's the first one in, launches this weight. He's like, what the fuck?
Kardash was cool as hell, because like I feel like anybody else would have just sent you to the principal's office.
Yeah, my bad, Demas, man. I was wild back then. I was a gremlin, bro.
That is so funny, man. So
funny.
What were the concert tickets?
First brown boy to get a pop.
Nav?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that how you said? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he said he was too old to be out in Chicago that late at night. I agree wholeheartedly.
Hey, so let me tell you this, man. My girl knows I'm a big fan of Drake. She saw his face and she thought it was Drake, so she went and bought the tickets. I was like, oh my God, bro. That is not Drake.
What was your reaction when she's like, hey, babe, I got you some Drake tickets?
Nah. No, that was a joke, bro.
Okay. I was like, that's for real. I was like, damn, bro.
I was looking forward to going to the concert, but I had to work the next day, and like, I am too old to be staying out late like that, you know. And then we got to find a babysitter, you know. So I was just like, whatever.
Let's get into the kids thing real quick, because Dan vaguely mentioned, I don't know, maybe like a week ago. He's like, yeah, you know, John's got, you know, he's got five little ones and stuff like that. I was like, what, five? Like, what? I couldn't even like wrap my head around that you have five. I thought you had maybe one or two.
Bro, I got five girls. Five girls.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you were Roberto before Roberto.
Bro, I'm trying to be like Nick Cannon. You know?
About to repopulate Port Indiana.
So what are the ages?
8, 7, 6, 4, and the baby's 10 months.
Oh my goodness, bro. So those first three, you just didn't waste no time, huh?
Right. I mean,
literally pulling outs for quitters.
Well, I mean, I got with somebody and she had two kids, but I've raised them since they were, you know, little. So those are my kids pretty much, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, so the man steps up, man, for sure.
Never a dull moment in this house, bro.
So do all five? So wait a minute. The woman that you're with now, is she's one that had her own two kids, and then you both of you had three together?
No, we had one. I had two kids before I met her. Don't know who my baby mama is?
I'll be honest, bro. I forgot. Oh.
Well, we went to high school with her.
I figured that much, but yeah. I don't remember. We'll keep that that backstage. We won't mention names.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. No, but honestly, bro, I'm blessed to be in the situation I am, because like both my baby mamas, they're best friends, bro. Like they're literally leaving the house right now to go down to Indy. They got a hotel room together with the kids, mm-hmm. and they're going for a cheer competition. So like that, man, it's awesome. The way we co-parent, I love it.
That's a W.
Yeah. Her boyfriend's dope, like, too, man.
Stress-free. All the boyfriends, bro, even like cool too.
Bro, I celebrated, well, I didn't celebrate, but we hung out at Super Bowl Sunday at his parents' house. You know, he's cool, man. So I'm very blessed.
All you can really ask for at, like, when it comes to co-parenting, it's like you want to make it as like minimal stress as possible, because being a parent already comes with its own amount of stress anyways.
Oh, for sure, man. I'm so lucky, you know. I'm glad they're cool, because my life was stressful when they hated each other. And it was my fault, you know.
So what would you say was like the biggest change that you had to go through personally once you became like that fatherly figure, or like you had your own and whatnot?
Shit. Well, after high school, man, you know, I didn't go to college. So, you know, I was working, running the streets, mm-hmm. you know, being a little hood rat. I wanted to do all the hood rat stuff with my friends, you know. I got into trouble a couple of times, you know, and then started working at, you know, Texas Roadhouse and met someone. And then when I found mm-hmm. out I was going to have a kid, bro, it changed my life completely. And then on top of it being a girl, like, man, my first daughter saved my life. And the rest of my kids, they help, you know, my life go forward. So, man, being a dad is like the best thing ever. I ain't gonna lie. My kids have changed my life so much.
I think Dan could probably attest to that too. It's like when you're, you know, with your significant other and you guys are kind of just like going through the whole relationship stuff. And then finally you get hit with that, hey, I'm pregnant and stuff like that. And you're like, I would assume your whole mindset has to go through a complete 180. Like you grow up at like maybe a snap of a finger. And then everything after that is like, I'm doing everything's brand new to me for the first time. Cause there was no previous life where like I knew how to be a dad or take care of a child and stuff. Like this is ground zero.
Oh yeah, man, for sure. Like to me at that age, bro, I was what, 20? I was still a kid mm-hmm. myself. You know, I wasn't ready for the real world, man. You know, we're all trying to figure it out at that age. But yeah. I had to mature real quick, you know. So definitely, man.
Yeah, that's yeah, awesome
for sure. Mine was a little different, just because I was, you know, a little older when Jessica got pregnant. But it was funny, like I don't know what your story, how like you were told this. So like, I remember coming home, and at the time we had an apartment in Chicago, And her sister was there, and I just came back from the store. I came back from work, something like that. And I came down and in the door, and they were like laughing and like giggling or something. I was like, what the, like, you guys laughing about? And then she showed me like the pregnancy test. I was like, eh, you ain't gonna get me, okay? Where's the phone at? You trying to get me? Trying to play a prank? Whatever, man. I don't believe you. Stop playing. And so she did. She showed me like three different ones. She said, no, I'm like, yeah. I was like, this, the way you guys presented this is putting a little doubt in my mind. You guys are giggling and laughing. It's funny. Like, you're messing with me, right? And like, no. I was like, no. All right, we'll go. We'll see you. You know, go to the doctor or something. And then I'll, you know, like, you're not playing with me. So then but she's like, yeah, we'll go to the doctor tomorrow. I was like, all right. Then I started really believing, like, oh shit, maybe she's right. But there was still a part of my, like, I was still maybe in shock or something. I was like, maybe she's not. Maybe she's playing with me. I don't know. But yeah, we went to the doctor and they told her, like, yeah, if you took the ones at home. But this was still COVID season, so I couldn't be back there. I had to like sit in the waiting room. But when she came out and she was like, yeah, that's for sure. Like, I instantly had tears. I was like, hugged. We were just super excited. But yeah, and another thing that was irritating with the whole pregnancy was just because of fucking COVID. I couldn't go. I had to like sit outside, or I could never go back for any of the appointments that I wanted to like go sit in on, the ultrasounds, all that had to be over like FaceTime. So like hearing the heartbeat the first time, I had to be on FaceTime and cry in my car to myself because I couldn't even be in there. It was irritating.
That's episode three right there. Episode yeah. Three, Dan's POV. Word for word, so, too. Damn. Hey, you sure this thing ain't scripted?
It's history, man. It's already written.
So for you, I don't know if Dan's ever mentioned it. I don't even think I've ever asked him this question, but obviously I wouldn't know. But for you, what was that realization like? I think as a parent, you have that unconditional love. So, like, did that hit you, like, as soon as the baby was born, or like, you know, when you're in the doctor's office and you hear that heartbeat for the first time, or you see the ultrasound, like, when does that like new feeling that you obviously had never felt before settle in? Like, man, I love this child unconditionally. Like, there's just no doubt.
Right. Well, I mean, I think personally, like, it's not real until it's real. You know, I knew I was going to be a dad, but it wasn't real to me until I was there holding that baby when she came out. And it was just like, man, like I cried like a baby. And it was just like, that's when it was real to me. It was like, all right, time to grow up. And, you know, even then, you know, me being selfish, you know, I still acted wild and was doing stupid stuff, you know, but, you know, my daughter did change my life, and it was crazy. I had that realization. Everything you do from that point on is not for you. It's for that kid. And I was just like, man, time to grow up. And I did a little bit, you know, I matured more, got a better job, you know, started doing the whole dad thing. But yeah, it becomes surreal once that baby gets there. That's when it's real.
Yeah. I can imagine like just holding something that you helped create and just like seeing it, touching it, like for the first time, you're just like, wow, this is insane. And like you said, like, you know, you probably grew up faster than you would have if maybe you didn't have, you know, your firstborn and stuff like that, you know, because now you realize, like, if I fail or if I lose, like, it's not just me. I'm taking somebody else down with me, and I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. I always say this all the time, like, and this is going to sound bogus, but I don't claim my kids unless it's tax season, but you know what I'm saying? Boy, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, I love my kids more than anything, man. They mean the world to me. And I wouldn't, you know, if I could, you know, a lot of times people are like, if you can go back and do things different, would you? No. You know, I had to make the mistakes I made and learn from them, you know, and I've heard you guys talk before. I listened to a couple episodes. You want to be better than your parents because you want better for your kids. And I mean, that's absolutely all we're trying to do, you know?
Absolutely. It's a nice it's a nice domino effect. And then obviously when they get a little bit older and they're able to appreciate like the things you were able to give them, they might not recognize it in the moment, but like I said, when they get older, they're like, man, like, you know, dad, we finally realized the things that you were able to do and it wasn't easy. And yeah, man, that's can't be anything more rewarding as a parent. What are their names?
Delilah, Phoenix, okay. Violet, Sutton, and Penelope.
Penelope.
That first, it was D Rose, isn't it?
D Rose, yep. Delilah Rose.
Nah, man, I was like, D Rose.
D Rose.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, but Brian, like, kind of like what you were saying, dude. Like after, you know, maybe I don't know if it's just having kids or us just getting older. Like mm-hmm. you were saying, you just realize like all the, like the stuff your parents did for you and continue to do. You know what I mean? It's crazy. So, you know, like I remember saying on one of the episodes, eventually, you know, maybe 30 years from now, my man will be like, hey, thanks for everything you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not done yet, man. Now.
I need a boy. Teach me, Dan.
Dude. All right. So you got to face her north. All right.
That's not. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've done that though.
It's gotta be a full moon.
Dang.
And it's gotta be 10:01 p.m. It's gotta be a twofer night.
Hey, if I'm facing her north, I'm already looking at a full moon because my girl got a big booty. You know. Stupid. Yeah, I mean,
Oh my god!
I'm torn between you know shooting for a boy or getting snipped, but I'm scared to get snipped, man. I'm scared.
Have you talked to anybody personally about it, or
no? No.
Have you like researched it yourself, or like anything, or you just it's just been a thought in your head?
Well, I mean, bro, I can't afford six kids. Come on, man. No, but I work with a couple of guys who have gotten it, and everyone's like, you're going to get snipped? You're going to get snipped? And I'm like, I probably should. But it's always that one, you know, I'm like, maybe the next one will be a boy. You know, maybe, just maybe. But I ain't chancing it because I'll probably end up having, like, twin girls, you know?
Oh,
that's Roberto Espinoza about that one.
How many kids he got?
He's got Sophia's the oldest one, and then he's got... Three, when he married Courtney, they had three of their own, all girls. Damn. Yeah, so he's riding that boat with you, but
my cousin too, dude.
Oh yeah, that's right, Damien too.
It's a girl generation, man. A girl generation. Yeah, I got two nephews and nine nieces. Like, come on, man.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. I remember, my bad, Dan. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that. When Roberto had his last one and we went to the gender reveal and, you know, Berto's big into archery and hunting and stuff like that. So he was going to shoot an arrow at the balloon and hopefully, you know, the color blue came out and he was just so confident it was going to be blue. Right. And obviously all of us guys that were there were like, yeah, man, you know, this could be a boy. It's going to be the one right here. And I think Roberto's like, if it's a boy, I'm going to try to shoot for another one. And we're like, okay. And I remember when he pulled back and he let that arrow go and it hit that balloon and it was pink. There was a mixture between silence and laughter in the background. And I'm just, I had my hands on my head. I'm just like, bro, I can't believe this. Like, and Anthony, his brother, wasn't there, right? And like maybe 2 minutes after the reveal happened, he called and FaceTimed him. And as soon as Roberto answered it, he's just laughing. Damn. I was just like, oh man, because you know Anthony, his first time shooting, he ended up getting a boy. Demas has a boy. Dan, you have a boy. So like, obviously we're giving Roberto shit, but like, you know, the girls are great. We just like giving a hard time because we're just
some guys. People just get lucky, man. I mean, I love my daughters, man. I just wish I had a boy. We just had this conversation. I wish I had a boy so we could do sports. Because gymnastics and cheerleading, oh my god, man, I'm tired of it.
So you have you said 8, 7, 6 are the oldest ones?
Yeah, 8, 7, 6.
Okay, are they all in gymnastics or just like the oldest one or?
The oldest three and then, no wait, hold on. The oldest three are in cheerleading, which they have a competition tomorrow. And then the oldest four are gymnastics.
My goodness, bro. Yeah, it's got to be something else, because I don't know if you follow Brendan on any social media or even his wife Alexis, but you know they're obviously big on the gymnastics and cheer, I think. And yeah, whenever I talk to Brendan, he'll say like, yeah, we're traveling down to this competition in Florida, or it'll be in Indy. And I'm just like, yeah, man, that's a lot.
Well, that's for the kids that are good. My kids are good, but they ain't that good. Their team ain't that good. You
know? That's for the kids that are good. I love how you can keep it real.
Yeah, I'm glad though, because you know all that traveling. I don't know if I could do that, especially just to watch kids, you know, cheerlead. And I was like, that's cool. You know, we're on vacation, but we're not on vacation.
Right. It's like it's time away, but it's like, damn, we still have like obligations, you know?
Bro, don't forget, man, I got five kids, so I gotta stay working. Man, you know how much eggs are right now?
Dude, hey, this inflation is nuts, bro.
Crazy.
That's what I'm saying. You said five. I'm sitting here like I got one. How, like, we talk about two, but then like that being it, I'm like, how is it possible for five? That's crazy.
I've never seen a five-way split for breakfast, but I would be making one up if I had five kids. Like, listen, y'all are gonna fucking take this one scrambled egg and you're gonna fucking split it five ways, okay? I want no crying or y'all going to your room.
We got our own chickens, you know, so they hatch eggs.
Oh, nice. Oh, dude, how many eggs a day do you think they're spitting out?
I don't know. I was manifesting it because it's got to happen soon.
I'm so done with you, bro.
Oh man. I was about to get some advice. Like, dude, we want to get some chickens, man.
I mean, you got to speak it into existence first. So that's
people are sitting on the edge of their seats, like, man, I wonder how many like eggs he's actually getting. And he's like, no, I'm actually just hoping it happens.
I'll follow up on you on that one. Let me get your chickens first.
Hey, never let them know your next move. You know what I'm saying?
That's amazing.
No, but that like, I got a good job, so my kids are taken care of, and but we don't go out to eat because my kids are bad. Like, no, they're not bad. It's just, it's a lot to take five kids out to eat. You know, just not, I'm not talking money wise. It's just, you know, getting them in and out of the car and waiting for a table and, you know, ordering everybody, you know, this person don't like cheese, this person don't like this. So it's tough. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
yep. Kids are antsy and that, you know, it's a lot to ask for them to like, just, hey, be perfect. Just sit there, be quiet, eat, and then we can go. Like, it never works out that way.
Bro. And it's not like you can just give all five of them one tablet to share or all four, you know, the oldest four, then they'd be fighting over that. And it's like, come on.
Can't win.
Can't win. Hey, but Brian, let's switch the subject real quick, man. Because like I said, I just recently re-listened to every episode. And you guys brought back a lot of memories, dude. A lot of stuff I forgot about. And for the longest, I'll be honest, for the longest, I thought, well, okay, I silently had beef with you. You know?
Oh, you did.
Silently.
Do you know why? I was one of the most low-key people of all time.
But once I got to know you, you know, we became cool. But do you know why I had low-key beef with you, bro?
I don't.
All right, okay. So this is going to sound stupid, but I totally forgot until I recently listened to this episode. So we're not going to use names, but I dated this girl in high school. And, you know, we dated, you know, whatever, however many years. And
yeah.
I sang to her one time. I sang Chris Brown.
Okay.
I sang with you. You know that song, that song.
Absolutely.
And she ended up telling me, she was like, oh, you know, Brian Rack sang to me one time at a birthday party. He tried to serenade me with Usher, and I was like,
I know exactly
bro.
What you're talking about. And hell like, yes, I did.
Bro. So
hell
when I heard-
yes, I did. Damn, the Riz was at an all-time high, bro.
Bro, when that I was heard- the when I heard that episode, I was like, whoa, it just brought me back. Like, I totally forgot about that, bro. That was like, that's my company. Usher and Chris Brown?
John started seething, bro, just rubbing his hands together. He's like, when I get my hands on this episode.
Bro, I was thinking about it. It's been marinating for the last 3 days because I was just like, damn, I forgot about that.
Marinating. Just letting it all out. You know what's funny is, yeah, I won't drop names either. I remember, oh my gosh, bro. I remember being at that birthday party, right? And it was like her best friend's like, oh yeah, Brian sings and yada, yada, yada. And so like, I don't even know like where this like unreasonable amount of confidence came from to where I just did it in front of like, there were like 7, 8, 9 girls there. And, you know, it's always the one girl you don't want to like you ends up liking you after that whole scenario. And I'm just like, there was this one chick that got into me like after that whole thing. I'm like, God, this song wasn't even for you. Like, God damn it. It's totally backfired on me.
I wish I was there so I could have that memory in my head.
That's funny.
That was like that was like freshman year, dude.
Feel like I was there year. Just from both of your guys' perspective, hers and yours. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. It was funny as hell, bro. Just
I had an unreasonable amount of confidence for no reason.
Listen,
that boy played for the Memphis Grizzlies.
the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh man, dude, I'm so done, bro. Like, you know what's crazy? It's like I feel like I have a reasonable amount of confidence now, especially like much older. I take good care of myself, all this other stuff. But it's like I don't even know what came over me in high school in that very moment, man. It was just like full send. I don't know. Maybe in my head, I was like, man, as soon as I drop this acapella, like I'm getting everybody here. Like, did not happen.
We were simps when we were young, bro. Simps,
dude. We didn't even know what we were doing. We just thought we were like, man, I am the Prince Charming. I'm him.
Him and C. Duncan, didn't work out though.
Man, I thought he was Him Jones.
Him Jones.
Any other memories that come to mind?
Bro, so many, but I can't think of them right now. But you know, who gets the memories going? Miguel, bro. When I get cut by Miguel, he starts does. Telling stories. I'm like, wow, I forgot about that.
I like how what Miguel does when you're getting your hair cut by him. He's gonna like bring up a memory. He'll stop cutting for a second. He'll lean in, like, hey,
yeah,
remember this?
Hey, bro, you remember that time, bro?
I remember we were in middle school.
Like everything else has to stop for him to be able to tell the story.
Like other people are listening in, he's looking around and shit. Like, hey, I remember in middle school, like, oh boy, used to see those cheeseburgers.
He's like, hey, don't repeat what I just said, but do you remember when?
Bro, Miguel was different in middle school, dude. I remember he was the first man. I remember he came in with that tattoo. I think it was eighth grade.
Oh, bro. Listen, I was thinking the same thing. Didn't he feel like an adult when we saw him with a tattoo? Yeah,
that's what I tell him all the time. I'm like, you're the first to do it. You're like Soulja Boy of our school, bro. Like, literally,
bro,
like.
I could have swore he was 16 in eighth grade.
Bro, he was the first one to have a kid in high school, first one to drive in middle school, first one to get a tattoo in middle school. This dude was different.
He was different. And he first one had like he had like a real ass job. He would leave school early to go work a real man job.
I was just like worried about getting my homework done and being home before the streetlights came on. This dude,
he was like, out there grinding. I was like, I'm like, oh, lunch is coming. I'm about to get maybe double tenders today, boy. He's like, I'm about to head out and go to work. I'm like, what?
This guy, what was that program in like high school where you were like allowed to leave school a half day to like go to work or something like that?
Vocationals,
like,
right?
Yeah. I think vocationals were like actual classes you took at like other schools.
Oh, okay.
It was like it was called work something. Work like, Miguel study had that in middle school. It was probably work study, maybe. Miguel had that in middle school. It wasn't even a class you could take. He just had it.
Yeah, Miguel's my man, dude. His shop's right around the corner from my house, so you know I hit him up.
Yeah, I always talk to him like. Tell him that how I met him in middle school that first day or so.
You guys were hooping?
Yeah, we went to I was like, you know, let's go play ball. So we split up the teams. For one, it was obviously all like the elementary schools coming together. So people stuck with who they knew, right? So like I didn't know any of them yet. But unfair ass team, they went Miguel, Jock, Keandre. I was like, for one, in the middle school setting, them three being on a team was not fair. And against right a bunch there. Of randos. So I think it was like, because I was friends with like Paul Ferran from like fifth grade, Jose Roma, we were friends like fifth grade. I forgot who else was on our team. I couldn't remember, but those are like the people I knew coming into middle school because I was just in Portage for a year. I remember somebody passed me the ball and, you know, they didn't have the fucking 3-point lines. We just made up shit like, all right, well, this crack right here is a 3-point line. And Miguel was like, 3 or 4 steps back, and I'm like, oh, money, catch it. I go to shoot, and this one was athletic as hell, takes one step, jumps up, pow, just sends it, and I just watched the ball go past him, like, what the f-? And then he just sitting there, standing there. I was like, this motherfucker got up there. Okay, well, so he's the reason I developed my patented pump fake for the next 3 to 4 years.
Just watch him go by.
Yeah, I was like, ain't nobody blocking my shot like that. It was so disrespectful.
He was so, like, because I didn't become friends with him until probably late, like, high school or something when he started cutting my hair. But I remember middle school, like, he was, if you took that whole, like, lunch table group that he sat with, like, I remember Jeremy Colvin was there, Keandre, Jock.
Hey, dude, I was there. Don't play me.
I mean, I don't remember either. Sorry, man. Yeah, bro, Jeremy Colvin was the first white guy in that table before you, I'm pretty sure. But
don't play me.
But he was ultra quiet. Like Miguel was like super, super to himself. I felt like
Or even the times when I saw him laugh with that group, I felt like he laughed to himself. Like, he didn't want to, like, show too much emotion. But, like, now he's just like, yeah, he completely different personality. I love Miguel, man. I miss being at the shop and getting cut by him, because
that's the big bro right there, man. Miguel. Yeah, Miguel.
Seriously.
Cool,
yeah, it's good seeing him in that shop succeed. Anytime I'm in town, I get a chance. Usually, I try to know I'm going to be like, all right, I'm coming to Portage this weekend, and I try to hit him up early, but it's usually like a Friday, and I'm like, I'm going to go out there, and then I just like hit him up. Like, I know you're booked for like a month, but like, is there, if anybody drops, or you got a little time, let me know. And I'm swinging through.
I have another memory. I can't drop the name though, because it might be a dead giveaway. But in Fagley Middle School, do you remember someone punching out the vending machine?
Bro.
Remember? Tell me you remember. I know Dave does.
I remember.
But they steal two bags of chips and dip.
They stole two bags of chips after that whole vandalism of the vending. Bro, you could have walked out with so much more than that. Like,
bro, I forgot about that.
You were done snacking before you even got home. That wasn't worth it. Oh, man. That was 75 cents worth of chips.
That is something. I think we lost them.
Oh, man. Yeah. We'll keep it going. Try to get them back in here. But, that was funny.
Yeah, that was man. That was something else, dude. That was, I can't, and he made the basketball team, too. I don't know
he never played.
No, he didn't play a game in the season, but when we had like our like tryouts and stuff like that, I don't even know if he ever even like participated in one, because he was always in trouble.
Yeah, and I talked to him outside of school. I like met up with him one time to play ball at the school. And
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. And he was, you know, it's him and his little brother that came from from Gary. And he didn't want to be here, is what he was telling me. He said he wants to go live back with his pops and Gary. And so he said he was just trying to get in trouble to get out of school so he can go back live with his dad, because he didn't want to be here.
Well, he succeeded.
Yeah, he had to succeed, man, because he didn't last very long. But that shit was hilarious. And I remember his little brother was a little badass kid too, getting in trouble. I'm pretty sure, because I used to work one of the periods I had was the office aide or something in middle school, and I remember his little brother getting in trouble when I was there. He put on like a Halloween mask and was running through the hallways, ran into a class, punched a kid in the face, ran back out, took off running, took the mask off, thinking like it was gonna be cool, he wasn't gonna get caught. And he ended up coming down to the office. I'm like, what did you do?
Like, he wasn't wearing the same clothes.
Yeah,
like, my bad.
That was hilarious.
I don't know what happened.
Nah, you good.
No, it's all good. We were just talking about our culprit,
the vending machine vandal.
Yeah, our vandal.
That's crazy.
Because I was telling Dan that like he had made the basketball team that eighth grade year, right? And like, in order to like be on the team or whatever, they probably already knew who they wanted to pick even before you went to like the 2-day tryout and stuff like that. I don't think this dude ever participated in a tryout, but he got on the team.
Yeah, because he was like 6'2" in eighth grade.
He was built different.
He was, dude. He was a mountain of a man, just way taller than everybody else. It was insane. That memory.
Talking middle school memories, that shit.
Bro, I know.
Some of the middle school memories are cracking me up.
I'm dropping this name because he's still one of my goats. And still one of my closest friends.
I know what you're about to say.
I don't really talk to him as much anymore, unless it's like on like Instagram and stuff, just because, I mean, he's been living out in Chicago for the longest time, but I still love this dude like a brother. But I'm pretty sure he holds the record for most fights started since entering a school. My boy Marcos, man.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping this is where we're going. Dude, every my time we talk Marcos. About middle school stories, this is one of my favorites.
So I remember the first time I met him. He moved to our neighborhood. He moved like 4 or 5 houses down from me at the end of the block the summer of seventh grade. And I remember, like, at least in my area, like, people knew that I hooped and stuff like that. I, you know, maybe it was big headed to me. I thought I was like one of the better hoopers until I got to play other people and stuff. And I remember Matt Sternberg, he brought Marcos over to my house. He's like, hey, man, I wanted you to meet this guy. He just moved down the street. His name's Marcos. Like, you know, he plays basketball. He's really good. And he likes playing soccer too. I was like, oh, hey, what's up, man? I was like, how you doing? And
why was he ripped up as a, like, an eighth grader, seventh grader, bro? He was fucking jacked.
Him, I don't know who started the trend, but he wore he always doubled or tripled
double
up on his
beater.
White beaters.
Yeah, he had the double beater with the traps, and I'm like, bro, where?
He always had double, triple white beaters on with two t-shirts on. I'm like, bro, it is 85 degrees outside, man. You don't need these many layers.
Drip was crazy.
Dude, yeah, literally dripping.
Oh, that's
dog.
Crazy. You guys ever? Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. My bad. But
no,
you guys
good.
Ever think
good.
About how we used to dress back then, bro?
Yes. Remember we used to rubber band our,
oh my
our jeans,
God, bro. The long tees.
Yeah.
The long tee jersey.
My boy Dan used to wear
jorts. I remember you rocking the deep V's from Express and shit.
Dan used to wear them long ass jorts. Them jean shorts, bro.
The jorts that would be at like the mid calf, like
with a Carmelo jersey.
Yeah, there's a yep for the Oak Hill. I still got that in the closet somewhere. And I'm pretty sure there's a picture on my Facebook from like one of my old birthday parties from back in like middle school or high school or something. We're all playing basketball in the driveway. And you see, there's one of my favorite. I know Brian loves this picture because it's him about to cross the fuck out of my cousin.
Because Damien's already off balance. Like, he looked like he's about to stumble. I haven't even pulled off my moves
yet. And I'm
yet,
sitting there
like,
with a black tee with some jorts. And I'm posting up Caleb like, come on, man, little man in the paint. Give me the rock.
Mouse in the house. Give it to me down here. That was so fun. So, back to the
Marcos
thing.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
Yeah, but I remember when he first got introduced. The big video game I was into at the time was NBA Street Volume 2, right? And we'd always try to like do the moves that were in the video game and stuff like that. There was one particular move that I was working so hard on that I could not do. And one of the first things Matt said was, yeah, you know that move you've been trying to do? Marcos can do it. And I'm just like playing it cool. Like, oh, man, that's cool. But in my head, I'm like, nah, dude, no fucking way, bro. That's bullshit, bro. I've been working on that move forever. How is this guy able to do it? Like,
which one was it? Was it the slip
and
slide?
It was the slip and slide. It was the slip and slide, yeah. Dude, where like he puts in between his legs and then does like a side roll. Yeah. Like, still, and then the ball goes over him and then he gets back up and just like keeps his dribble. I'm just like, bro, there's no way he's doing this move before me. But one of the premier fights that I remember him being in was John. I don't know. I feel like you were there, but somebody offered Marcos, and it's our favorite barber, all the money in his pocket for lunch, which was probably like $1.75, to go punch this other kid in the face that most of us did not like. And I remember he sent this dude. Remember the concession stand that was like in front of the gym? It'd always be closed. He took this dude and threw him up against the freaking concession stand. Dude, it was crazy.
Damn.
It was crazy. I'm pretty sure he had three or four fights in like the first couple months. He was a menace.
He's a menace, dude.
That's crazy. Oh, that's crazy, man. You guys bring up all these memories I forgot about. You guys might remember, what was the science teacher's name? Sixth grade. Mr. Holmgren?
I didn't have him. Oh, but I remember the name.
I knew who he was, though.
Dude, that dude.
Wasn't he allergic to soap? Wasn't that
allergic to soap and toothpaste, bro? Just like my kids.
That just went way over my head for like half a second, bro. That's crazy.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's crazy. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something else.
Dude, I remember. I forgot what the teacher's name. I don't know. It was my homeroom teacher, but I forgot what else he taught. And like maybe it was like seventh grade. But he always would play that song like time keeps on slipping.
Oh, it was Mr. Swash.
Mr. Swash. Yeah.
Didn't we have team names like Wizards and like weren't there like two different
Wizards and Explorers? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Wasn't one year like Dinos and something else too?
Dinos
and Dragons.
Dumbass,
yeah, it was
maybe.
Some weird
duck.
I don't know. I don't know. I remember the names though, man. I just
I remember him playing that song and telling us like I'm gonna play some beginning of the year at the end of the year and you're gonna remember how fast time is going, blah blah blah. And then every now and then I hear that song, I'm like, damn man, he was right.
He was right, bro. He knew it.
He felt
it
too.
He was feeling it at that time when he was teaching. He's like, man, this is bullshit, man. All this time escaping me. I'm about to let these kids feel it.
They're gonna get in their feels because I am.
Damn. You guys are already 30, right?
Yeah, 30, boy.
I'll be 30.
Be 31 this
I'll be
year.
30 in 2 months. Bro, crazy.
That's, it doesn't even like, yeah, I don't even really feel like it to me. Like,
no. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, Johnny. Since I have had this conversation with, I had this conversation with Jessica literally before we start recording. See if you feel the same way. But I asked my dad one time, like, hey, when did you start feeling like a dad? Because I was telling him, like, I feel like I'm the same guy, right? I don't feel like I'm a dad, right? I am a dad, right? But I don't feel super fatherly. I mean, I take care of the kid, obviously, like, you know, that's my life. But I was like, when did you start feeling like a dad? He was like, you don't. He's like, I still don't feel like a dad. He's like, you're a dad. You know, that's just, you know, what you are. He's like, but you're still who you are, right? It's like, do you feel the same way? Or do you feel like, no, I'm a dad. I feel like I'm a dad. Or you just feel like, I'm still me. I'm just taking care of these kids too.
Bro, I felt like a dad in between number one and number four, maybe. Somewhere in between those kids. yeah, man. I don't know. You know, I felt like a dad the moment, you know, when, oh, you ain't there yet. How old is Luke?
1.5.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, my oldest is 8. When I got to make that face, like, you know, that dad face when your dad tells you something and he makes that face and you're just like, oh, he ain't joking. Yeah. That's when I felt like a dad. The first time I was able to make that face, like, hey.
And they listened right away.
Hey, my girl finds it sexy. You know, my kids be yelling and screaming. She's like, tell him to calm down. I'd be like, hey, calm down. She's like, ooh, that's sexy. There's a little stuff like
that. So you want to try for that boy?
Yeah, no.
Hey, y'all being here, quiet, play for a few minutes. We're going to go fold some laundry.
Shit.
That is a good explanation. I feel like, obviously, I ain't Dan's fucking kid, but listening to him talking the way he carries himself, he still sounds like a regular person, but you're probably right. Until you actually have like that first, like, disciplinary moment, mm-hmm. or like that that authoritative, not speech but statement towards your kids, like I think that's when you're like, oh, yeah. Shit, like, this is, because you're not caught in any other scenario where you would really have to act like that, you know?
Yeah,
until you had to discipline your kids or tell them to calm down or something.
Yeah, and I also think it's like to us, our parents, like we don't view them as kids. We don't really view them as people, right? We view them as our parents. Like, they pretty much do everything for us. They have all the answers, whether we listen to them or not. Most of the time, we ain't listen to them. We don't know what you're talking about, even though they knew exactly what they were talking about. We just kind of, you know, don't see them as people as much until I think we get older. So I feel like that's why it's like, ah, that's just my dad.
Yeah.
He's just saying whatever he's saying. But he knew what he was talking about. So, like, when my kid gets a little older, you know, I'll have that more of that power to be like, hey, settle down. Where if I do it at work, if I tell someone, hey man, relax, I'm like, who are you talking to? You're my peer.
Well, I think it's more of like more of that, once you hit that teaching moment, I think that's when it's like surreal. You like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're able to teach them something and they're learning from you and you can see it's trying to connect. That's when it's like, damn, you're like, I'm grown now, I'm the daddy, you know? You hit that moment.
Yeah, I can kind of see you going through phases, because it's like, when they're an infant to a toddler, obviously they can't really speak, or like they're going to act how they want to act. And you're kind of like, I don't want to say like a slave to them, but you let them do what they want to do because of the age that they're in. Right. And then when they get to another age where you're starting to instill values and getting them to understand the meaning of no, like they can't always have their way. You know, you might not be viewed as like the, You probably heard like other friends say like, oh, my mom is my best friend. Like, I never view, like, I think the dynamic's completely different. Like you said, like, I view my mom and dad like that's my mom and dad. Yeah. Like, they were never like, I don't want to use the term friend because I never viewed them at that point. I think because the respect level was so high. And I'm not saying anyone that like views their mom and dad as a friend doesn't have respect for them. It's just like, I don't even know if I'm explaining it right. There was just like always a certain amount of fear. Like, I don't want to let them down. I'm not trying to disobey them or whatever. And then it's like, you get a little bit older, or at least at our age, you feel like you're at a different level with your parents. You still respect them, but you don't, I guess that fear when you were like a teenager isn't the same.
Yeah. So it's like, I got my own mortgage now. Like, I can tell you whatever I need to say.
Right.
It's funny, with my dad, we were over there last week or a week or so ago, and Luke was doing something, and I was like, no, he's fine. Or oh, I was giving him like food, and my dad was like, oh, that's a big of a piece, man. Nah, he's good. Like, he can eat that. And my dad's real, like, he gets real paranoid with the baby. And he was like, you still, he's like, talking about like, I have to listen to him still. He's like, I'm still dad. I was like, I'm dad too. Okay.
I don't know if this ever happened to you, but you remember back in the day, like when you would talk to your parents and like, let's say you know that they said something that wasn't true and you try to correct them and like, they tell you that they, like, you're talking back, like, oh, so you're talking back now? Like, damn, like, no, I'm just saying. And then like, it didn't matter what you said after that. Like, you were always losing. But like now, as you're older, you can say something, like you can correct them. And it's like, oh, now that you can't use that against me now because we're on a different level. Like,
bro, I know exactly what you're. I stayed grounded like most of my life, bro. Like most of my childhood, mm-hmm. I was grounded. I was a bad kid, I guess. You know, I mean, you guys knew me. Like, I just talk too much, or get in trouble at school. You know, stupid stuff.
Getting kicked out of class.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
Get roaming the hallways.
Yeah, I was wild, man. I've definitely matured a lot from, you know, that kid I once was.
It's so funny to just reminisce back at those times, especially when you do like make that big turnaround. And you're like, man, like remember how like dumb we were, like the, you know, the shit we used to do, like when we were in like middle school and stuff. I remember I was always a pretty good kid, but there was one class that I could not stand, and this woman would always kick me out of class. And I was like a decently like good kid compared to most, and like I don't know how I found myself always getting kicked out of that class. It'd be like I get kicked out, Keandre, Joel. Paul Ferran, like we'd always be getting kicked out of this. It was like a computer, like a typing class, in like sixth Joel. Grade.
Dude, I got. So, oh wait, hold on. I remember that. I got in trouble in her class too.
Yeah, I think you were in there too. It was like you couldn't win with it. She had a very like not short fuse, but like she had like a no nonsense type stuff.
But Irving was in there. Me and Irving got in trouble.
Irving was in there.
I remember we got in trouble one time. Stupid reason. You just brought this memory back. I forgot about this. Me and Irving got in trouble one time. We had a sub in that class, and we switched chairs. And he,
oh boy,
I said I was going by Irving, and he was going by Dan. And I don't know how the teacher found out, but something happened, or maybe like the next day we went to do it again, and it wasn't a sub, and it was her. And somehow she found out. I don't remember, but remember we'd had the class right, and then the computer lab was across the hall. Yep, so everybody went across the hall to type, and she made me and Irving stay back. And she made us do that, like, you know, the typical, like, write, I will sit in my correct seat, over and over on a piece of paper.
Like 100 times.
Yeah, and she's like, fill out all these papers while I'm gone. And I was, like, obviously she'd leave the room, and me and him would start, you know, messing around.
Bullshitting.
And so then I was, like, running out of time. So I would do, like, the three pencils at once to, like, write three lines. And then I was running out of time, so I wrote it big, like, one time, real big across the whole paper. And so I turned, I like gave it to her. First page was fine, second page. And then it got to like the three pencils and then the one big one. And she just looked at me. She was like, you think you're smart? I was like, I don't know how to answer
this. I
thought
this was efficient.
I think I am.
I'm trying to think about who you guys are talking about. I don't even. She probably hated me, so I probably was never in her class.
I don't remember her name. No, I can see her face though. And I remember the classroom. It was the very last classroom before they made that extension on the right side of Fagley Middle School.
Oh, say less, bro. Say less.
Man.
Yeah.
Do you remember do y'all remember the poem that I wrote in like sixth grade?
I do. I remember you reading it to you know, that was another.
Do you remember I read it in math class? You remember I read it in math class? Yeah. In Mr. Allen's class?
Mr. Allen is, yeah.
Mr. Allen is, hey, man. He's like, I'm going to need that. Let me say that to the wife real quick. I was like.
Bro, you guys want to know what I just thought about? This was crazy. Tell me this wasn't crazy. All right. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is one of those fever dreams I had or if this really happened. But
I don't even know what that is. What the hell is a fever dream?
I don't know. I've heard it before. I just assumed it's something crazy.
I know what you're talking about. This dude tripped.
Yeah, bro, my bad.
But, dude, so tell me if I'm crazy, but one time in middle school, don't remember what grade, there was one Asian kid in our whole class, and we had some kind of pep rally in the gymnasium.
Yep.
And one of the contests, do you remember what the contest was?
Yo, I've actually talked about this maybe like a couple months ago.
Bro.
Well, I don't remember this.
It was like we were playing games or some shit, you know, a bunch of people, like they would pick kids and then we'd play games. And the one Asian kid, he won the rice, what was it, the chopstick eating contest?
Yeah, so this is what it was. So it was, you know, like history, right? We'd go to like different regions, right? What we were learning about like Asia and stuff. So one of the at the end we had some, there was like a big competition, but it was Alan Chang. He had it was they had like the not, I don't think it was either rice or beans or something. It was just something like bigger, like beans, I thought it was. But it was a plate full and an empty plate, and you had these chopsticks, and it was a chopstick competition to move like how many you can move over, right? And obviously, like, he, that's his shit. So he's torching everybody. And I remember, yeah, we were, like, sitting in the crowd because we were friends with Alan. I remember sitting in the gym and, like, the championship round, and he just.
He smokes everybody.
And he's just, he's looking up at us, and we're like, yeah, yeah.
I love
that.
Alan,
that
man.
Wasn't
Alan
even
was
fair,
so
man.
Cool.
That was so unfair for him. That was easy.
That was, like,
do you remember?
Not fair, and then it was kind of racist for the teachers, you know?
Like, oh, how typical. The only Asian guy in the whole school wins a chopstick.
Like, what are the odds they picked him, though? Like, did he have his hand, did he have his hand raised? I don't think he did.
They just wanted to be entertained, dude. That's just terrible.
They're like, well, obviously you'll join. He's like, wait, what?
Okay, whoa, hold on. What do you mean, obviously?
It was rigged.
You know, after you said that, it probably made me think about your time with that substitute teacher between you and Irving. Like, you don't know how she figured out, but that sub probably had some racial profiling going on. Like, well, this guy clearly doesn't look like an Irving, so I'm going to go ahead and let the teacher know. There's no way this guy looks like a Dan.
Oh,
it doesn't
shit.
Even make sense.
You probably are right. What the hell?
Probably. But we weren't smart enough to flip that up. Well, hold on. How come she can assume that I wasn't Irving? That's crazy.
He didn't have a mustache.
Irving had a mustache in like sixth grade.
Yeah. Dan didn't have one.
Do you remember the international day that we would have at school? Like, everyone would like bring their own dishes from like their respective like ethnicities and stuff like that. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
That was a great day.
I always brought, my mom always made, since we got some Polish blood in us, I always brought Polish sausage and sauerkraut, and nobody ever wanted any of it, so I just sat there and ate it by myself.
I was like, you go home and tell your mom, like, yeah, it was a hit. Everybody loved it.
It was like Damien, like me and Damien, like that was like something that was always made at like our family reunions, right? So, like, when we were in seventh grade and did it, he was, I know, in eighth grade, a year older than us, he would come through and, like, I'd give him a little bowl. I was like, but other than that, I was like, nobody else wanted it. Some people would try here and there, but I'd just sit there, bowl at the bottom. I'm like, hey, this is good. Y'all missing out.
Big time. Remember, I would come with a lumpia dog. Like, that would not last.
Heater.
That would not last.
You would come with what?
Lumpia. Have you ever had lumpia?
No, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's a pretty like standard Filipino dish. It's basically, it's comparable to egg roll as far as like the aesthetic and the look. But from what I learned from my mom, you can basically make it out of anything. But how I grew up eating it was, it would be ground pork, cilantro, carrots, and like I think another vegetable, I forgot. And you basically blend it all together in a food processor, and then the wrapping that it's encased in, it's actually called just a lumpia wrapper, and you just get it from the Oriental store, and you deep fry it, and it's phenomenal, man. Like, every time my mom makes it or my grandma makes it, like, that, they make like 50, like 100 of them bitches, and they last more than a week, bro.
So
they're
that's
crazy
like
good.
The Filipinos version of like a tamale.
Yeah, I would say so.
That sounds good.
Where you can just eat a shit ton, like, and just go crazy with it. Yes, 100%.
Dude, your mom should send me home with my own little batch of them. I'm like, love those things. Dude.
And what I love about, I just talked to my mom like earlier today or yesterday, and I'll tell my mom, like, yeah, you know, I'm coming into town, like, you know, Dan and so and so, they want some lumpia. Like, my mom, more than happy. My mom cooks like crazy. Like, she'll cook in mass quantities, like she's cooking for a military, but she won't care. Like, if some of my boys, they want something that they don't usually get a chance to have, like, my mom's like, yeah, I'll make some for them, because it's so tedious. I know how to make it, but bro, it's just hell no. Nah. It's a long drawn out process, bro. I ain't trying to do all that shit. Like, I just hit up my mom and have her make it.
No, not the last sounds time good. You're home, but the time before, I remember when we kicked it, you brought me a Your mom made
I brought you a ton.
Yeah, dude. And it was just every night we're gaming or something, I throw a couple of them in the air fryer. It lasted me, you know, maybe like that, maybe like 4 days, 4 or 5 days. I'd make two. And I'm like, damn, those are good. I'd make two more. I'm like, dang.
Yeah, you can't. Like minimum, you're eating like 8 to 10, bro. And
then,
easy.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm getting towards the end. And then I pull out the paper towel. I'm like, there's another layer. Let's go.
That excitement. You're like, man, damn, that was it. You're like, oh my goodness, there's still more. So I'm trying to think any more iconic memories between middle school and high school.
I got so many high school memories, but I don't know if they involve you guys. I can't remember.
we had so many different circles that we rolled in. It's just like, I'm not surprised that you probably got like a crazy amount of stories.
No, dude, yeah. I don't remember having like after middle school, Brian. Besides when we all took strength training together, like junior and senior year, we never had no like regular classes together after that.
Mm-mm.
Well, Brian was in advanced classes, weren't you?
Well, Dan was too. Yeah. Dan had some advanced classes here and there. Yes, I didn't have like too many.
I was taking like the engineering stuff too.
I was too dumb for all that.
Hey, listen to this crazy story, bro. My parents put me in ROTC because I was bad, right? They put me in ROTC.
I remember that,
bro. So you remember when like the swine flu was going around?
I do.
I was around like right around that time, and one of the I don't know what he was, but he was one of the teachers or whatever. But I remember him he pointed to me and was talking about the swine flu. He's like, your people brought the swine flu here. And I was like, what? What the heck? So I told my parents.
I don't even know who your people are.
Yeah. So I told my parents and they took it to the principals. Tell me why they pulled me out of ROTC and put me in the bilingual classes. Bro, I don't even speak Spanish.
Bro,
his porn is looking racist.
Dude, that took a crazy turn, bro. I don't know who was that supposed to benefit. Like,
yeah, they put me in the bilingual classes. I was like, no habla español.
They were like, oh, you don't know who your people are? Here you can find out. Like, what the hell?
They took you out of that class, put you in a bilingual class, and they promoted the teacher that lashed out at you.
Yeah, right. Bogus.
Oh man, that's crazy. I didn't know that, bro. That is your people brought this here.
They moved me after that. After I told them, I was like, I don't speak Spanish. Like, I don't know why I'm in this bilingual. I think there was some special ed kids in there too, but I can't remember.
That's so crazy to me, bro. That is so wild.
Dude, speaking of high school like classes and stuff, remember you had a class with Damien. I always wanted to have a class with you. I never got a class with you guys.
Oh yeah, that was facts. No, it wasn't facts class. It was something similar to facts class from sixth grade. No,
was like oh,
sixth something? Grade.
No. It was like because you took a facts class. It was like what family and consumer science.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Because like you learn how to cook. We did in middle school. You did sewing. So it was like a class similar to that, but in high school. I think we were sophomores in the class. It was me, Carlos, and Demas, and Damien was in there too. And oh my god, that class was so. It was so damn fun. I remember we had the regular teacher that was there. She had like a stretch where she was gone for like 1 or 2 weeks. And we would have the same sub, right? And she was like a notorious sub. This was before like I actually knew who this was. And when she was the first 2 days we were there, like Damien gave us all different nicknames and stuff like that. He's like, hey, we're going to give her our regular name, but if we're going to follow it up with a food group, okay? And we're like, okay. Like, so when Carlos gave his name, instead of Carlos Aragon, he called him Carlos Krabs. And then when Demas's name came out, like, yeah, Demas Donut, I was like, oh my god, this sounds so fucking stupid, man. Why are we doing this right now? Like, it was the dumbest stuff, bro. And this substitute teacher would fall asleep, like head straight on her chest, just pass out just like that in the chair. And Damien would like take a picture of her and stuff like that, and just
oh my god,
obviously just cook the substitute teacher for no reason, bro. Like, so
what
did
she like tell him? Like, bring me that texting machine. He was like, what?
Yeah. She's like, I saw what you have there. She's like, bring me that text messaging device. And then, you know, Damien makes like those dumbass faces. He'd be looking around. What text messaging device? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Bro, why do I have a feeling I know what sub you were talking about too, bro?
She was, man.
The older lady?
Yeah, she's a little bit older. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's a little bit heavier.
Yeah, respectfully.
She had a little bit heavy. She had an aggressive personality.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I think we all knew who we were talking about. Sure. But such good times, man.
Oh man, Brian, you still in North Carolina?
No, I'm actually. I'm in Virginia. Damn. I'm in Virginia. I've been here since September.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that on the pod, so I didn't know that. Yeah.
I probably dropped it, I don't know, very briefly in one of the episodes. But yeah, I think after in North Carolina, I did three separate 3-month contracts. So when I left last January, I went to North Carolina. I stayed there for 3 months. And then before I was going to leave to come back home in April, I was like, hey, can I renew my contract? And we'll re-sign you for another 6 months, which is usually about the max. You're allowed to stay in one place for a total of 9 months before you start getting hit with taxes. So after those 9 months, I was kind of already getting burnt out from the place I was at. So it was time for me move, but I didn't want to go back home. And there was nothing interesting popping up. There was a place in Massachusetts. There was a place in California and stuff like that. But I didn't want to go further out west because it was just too expensive. And then same thing with Boston. It was going to be close to winter time. I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to spend winters up there.
Mm-hmm.
So this place in Northern Virginia popped up, Fairfax. It's 30 minutes west of DC. So yeah, I've been here since then. I'm here until at least the end of March. And yeah, It's been cool here. I like it here, but I think the longer I've been away, I just realized I value being closer to my family mm-hmm. and friends a lot more. Being away is cool. The money's been good, but I was just telling Dan yesterday, even though I was joking, it's bro, I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to die with nothing. The amount of money that I make or the things that I accumulate over time, they're going to be great and, well used while I'm here. But at the end of the day, that's not going to fulfill me. I'm able to talk to Dan every day because we game every day. I try to call the guys at least once a week. I talk to my mom and grandparents often. But just talking to them over the phone just doesn't do it justice, especially when you're still in the area. When I was in the area, in the back of your mind, you always knew I can just get in my car and just see whoever. When you're away and you don't have that that benefit anymore, it hits different. There really ain't nobody here for me. So
yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah,
man.
Eventually
you get to travel, but I mean, I'm sure you get homesick too.
Yeah, the travel's cool, man. I mean, I do get homesick, but not to the point where I'm I want to live back home in Portage. I told Dan already, I'm when it's time for me to settle down and work full time, I kind of want to be in that midway point between where my mom is at, where the homies are at, and then where my grandparents are at. So mm-hmm. I like Indianapolis, and I think that's that's central station between my mom's still in Portage. Some of the friends are still there. My grandparents live in Kentucky, and then Demas and Chandler live in Indy. So it's that's kind of where I would want to be, because not one person is too far away for me to get to.
Yeah. That's cool.
But
man.
Where are you at now? You're in Hobart then, right? Because you said you're just a few blocks away from Miguel's shop.
Yeah. Yeah. I live in Hobart. I bought a house a couple years back in Hobart.
Nice, dude.
Not too far from the lake, man.
That is awesome. Good old Lake George, huh?
Yeah. Lake George.
Where are you working now?
I work at the mill, Cleveland Cliffs. I've been there for five years now. I'm a crane operator.
Yeah, that's what he said. He gets to work with Dave all the time.
I work with Dave.
So are you in Chicago then? Is that where this mill is at? Or
East Chicago.
Oh, okay, EC. I got you.
Yeah. It was the old Arcelor Middle.
Yeah.
When did they change their name?
Oh, 2 years ago. About 2 years ago, we got bought out.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, because I know some people that work at, the EC plant, and do you know Lorenzo Lacey?
Nah.
I'm pretty sure he works at... Okay, well,
It's a big place, yeah.
Yeah, I figured that. I just thought, maybe by chance. But yeah, I was going to say, before I left Portage, I'm like, I knew it was still ArcelorMittal, and then when you dropped that name, I was like, well, maybe they got bought out.
I see a bunch of people from high school every once in a while, Little Gomez, not Caleb, but his brother Jacob, he used to work with me.
A valet started working out there not too long ago.
Is he still there now?
Yeah, I just seen him the other day.
I wonder how he's doing.
Baby face. He's still got that baby face. No facial hair.
He does. Every time I see his like Instagram pop up, I'm like, bro, this guy looks like he hasn't aged at all.
I know. Right? Yeah, I mean, me, I got a full-ass beard, you know. I'm losing a little bit of my hair, but that's because of, you know, baby mama drama from the past, you know.
You stressed.
All these kids.
That's all right, man. We lose our hair eventually. I've been growing my hair out for the last, like, 6-7 years, or, like, at least keeping length on it. And I'm getting, like, a little bit of a balding spot in, like, the right side of my head. And it's not terrible, but I know like when I get everything lined up and stuff like that part sticks out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, listen, man, it is what it is. I'll go back to my bald fade like I did in high school when my hair really, really starts like falling and I can't save it no more. I'm just going to work with what I got.
That's what you guys need. You guys need a sponsor. What is it? Keeps or the one where you keep your hair?
I was just watching a YouTube video that they're sponsored by Keeps.
You guys got to get a sponsor. Raid Shadow Legends.
Any and all sponsors, dude.
Raid Shadow Legends. What is it? Eat Hello Fresh. We got to get you somebody.
We need all of them.
I know, dude. We already promoted the barbershop 5 times on this episode, you know, for free. That's us. That's love, right? But
Miguel, let me get a discount.
I'm trying to say we did with the episode we had a takedown for Caleb. I was joking around on there and I was like, dude, you got to tell anybody who comes into the shop and says, oh, I heard about you guys on No Script Podcast. Boom, 50% off their bill off top. And he's like, we can do something like that. And then we got to take the episode down. So that's our missing episode that we need to get him back to reshoot it.
Crazy. Hey, all right, real quick. Dan, did I tell you, I don't know if you saw on Facebook. I thought I texted you the other day and told you like 2 weeks ago, bro, I had a stroke.
What?
What? Bro, I had a stroke. I was in the hospital.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so like a bunch of people at work are like, oh man, are we allowed to talk about COVID or not?
Yeah.
I don't want you guys to get like restricted or taken down or something.
No, you're good.
A lot of people at work, those conspiracy theorists, the same people who believe that these aliens are getting shot out of the sky, they're like, oh, it's because of the vaccine. I'm like, nah, bro. It's because I don't take care of myself. You know, I work 80 hours a week and drink 20, you know, energy drinks a week. So it's probably what it was. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, so what happened? Because I haven't worked with anyone close with that's like gone through. I've done stroke rehab and all this other stuff, but not like lately. So like what happened or what led you to believe that you were having a stroke?
Bro, I was laying in bed. I honestly think I had just fallen asleep and I flipped over, you know, my arm was under my girl's head because, you know, we were cuddling or whatever. I like to be the little spoon sometimes as a big spoon. And I went to flip over and I just couldn't feel the whole left side of my body, like from my top of my head to the bottom of my foot, like the whole left side, couldn't feel anything. Yeah. Like I told her, I was like, something's not right. Like, I can't feel my arm or leg. She's like, it's just numb. It's just numb. Go back to sleep. And I was like, no, I can't. And I tried to get up and it just completely limped. My face started drooping, you know.
Oh, no.
Luckily, we live right by St. Mary's. So we got there within 20 minutes of everything. And they gave me a blood thinner. I was in the ICU and, you know, they found a blood clot in my brain or whatever was there. It was dissolved by the blood thinner. So I haven't had anything since then. I feel fine. I got to wear this heart monitor because they found a hole in my heart. But, you know, it was scary, you know. Bro, listen to your guys' podcast and you guys are all into fitness. And I need to get back in, you know, get back in shape and start taking care of myself better. You guys are a little inspiration.
That's wild, bro. You know, I've been doing physical therapy for like 6 years and I worked at St. Mary's for at least a good like 2 years and I've done stroke rehab. I've done major surgeries, like rehab for major surgeries and stuff like that. I've seen mild strokes. I've seen major strokes, any person from their 30s all the way into their 70s or 80s and stuff like that. So like, I can only imagine how scary that situation was, man. It's just, but I mean, you were, they always say time is of the essence, especially when it comes to stuff like that. And you were able to recognize, like, no, it is not. Like, if it was just like my arm was numb, okay, cool, because like you were laying on it. But if it, this whole side is numb and my face is drooping, like that, that is all the signals I need to like make this as urgent as possible.
Bro, she had to help me get dressed and help me to the car. It was bad. Man, I think me panicking as bad as I was made it worse, you know. But
what else can you do in that moment? It's like I've never experienced this before, and you're just like, bro, what? Like, what's happening? It's a natural response.
I was scared, man. I'd never prayed so hard in my life, and I've heard Dan talk about you know, his faith, and it just made me realize that I need to you know, get back to where I was once. You know, I had a really good relationship with the Lord, and I strayed away a bit, but it's helped bring me a lot closer. You know, praying more, reading my Bible. So, yeah, I just put my faith in Him that nothing like that ever happens again.
Yeah, man, and he's equipped us with the tools to be able to like take care of yourself to your utmost ability. Things like, you know, getting enough sleep, staying hydrated, staying somewhat active. You don't have to be an avid gym goer like me or anybody else that you might know. I mean, you just have to do a little bit more than what you do right now, and it'll go a long way, man. Because I mean, I've talked to Dan about some stuff that's been going on with me over the last like year, and it's just not. Especially when you know that you're taking good care of yourself and like these things start to happen and you're just wondering why. And like everybody else you talk to, either like, I don't think they intentionally try to dismiss it, but because they don't really understand what you're going through, they're just like, I don't know. They're not as compassionate as you think that they would be. Like, obviously you're worried about it because it's like, bro, I want to know what's going on. Like, I don't understand why this is happening. I do this, this, and this. Like, I need to know why. And it's not, I'm for sure it's not the reason you're telling me. And I'm not just going to not worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even drink or smoke. I've been sober for 2 years, and that's been life changing, you know? So
that's big time, man.
Yeah. That's big time. I don't know how much you want to get into that at all, but what made you decide to do that?
You know, I always viewed myself as just a casual drinker. I drink with friends and, you know, whenever we go out, but when COVID hit and that whole, like you guys talk about all the time, where like Warzone, you know, everyone's in the house, you know, you're just playing Warzone with the boys. That's when it really hit me that I had a drinking problem, because I was drinking whiskey, like a bottle of whiskey or a bottle and a half of whiskey every night playing video games, you know? And, you know, I thought it was just, you know, cool to just drink and play video games. But eventually it became a problem to where when I would go out, I couldn't, you know, I didn't know when to stop. And long story short, I got in some trouble. I was on vacation out of town, lost one of my closest friends because of the stuff I was doing, you know, just being stupid or whatever. And almost lost, you know, my girl. And it just it opened my eyes, like, I got to stop, you know. So I started, I quit cold turkey, and she's a really good support. She, you know, she has my back, and my family and friends supported me. And about, I want to say like 6 months ago when I hit, well, 4 months ago when I hit my 2 year, the union hall for the company I work for, they reached out to me and they needed a new member assistance committee. So basically they told me like, hey, you know, we followed your journey. And we think it would be cool if you want to check out this position. And I'm like, okay, I'll see what it's about. So my new job, which is really cool, is every Wednesday and Friday, I go to AA meetings, which I started doing on my own. And I make sure, so if guys get fired for drugs or alcohol at work, I make sure that they're going to AA meetings, make sure they're doing their therapy sessions, you know, and I'm helping them, you know, get their jobs back and stay on the right track. But it also helps me stay focused. You know, that was that push I needed to keep going. So it's really cool. I love being sober. I don't push it on everyone. I don't care if other people drink, you know, but I'm doing this for my kids and myself, you know. It's definitely changed my life. You know, my relationship's better with my family and, you know, my girl and my kids. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, what it is.
That's really commendable, bro. I mean, like you said, this, you came to an ultimatum, unfortunately, or a realization. You're like, hey, this is, we need to make a change. And you never really knew like who was watching you like mm-hmm. in the background. And it kind of now gave you this opportunity to like, you being in the position you're in now, not only helps out others, you know, hey, they might've lost their job and stuff like that, but they're still people, you know, even if they're not employees. So you want to still keep them on that right track as human beings. But then it reinforces what you've been doing and what you want to continue to do, which is stay sober, and which is great, man. That's a lot of strength right there, bro.
That's huge.
That hits.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm still my same goofy self, but you know, I just don't drink anymore. I can have fun without getting messed up or doing drugs, you know? So.
Yeah. And I guess like, you know, anybody that listens to it, you know, we're not knocking anybody that drinks.
No, not at all.
We don't want nobody shaming, you know, John and saying like, oh, well, like, how can you not go out or like control? But not everybody operates under the same umbrella. You know, their addiction can come in all shapes and sizes. It doesn't have to be with just alcohol or smoking or drugs or whatever the case may be. Like if it impacts your normal day-to-day healthy routine, then it's probably not a good addiction to have. And when you like the ultimate strength comes from you being able to realize that and actually taking the steps to make a change.
Oh yeah, definitely. I once I started doing the AA, you realize like all addictions are the same. I mean, they come from, you know, some problem, whether it be, you know, some mental problem or, you know, something that's happened in your past. And you when you realize that, it helps you. It helps you overcome, you know, whatever you've been going through. Like, you guys talk about, what is that? Like doing therapy. Once I started talking to someone, bro, it helped. I've never talked to my girl about my feelings as much as, you know, I do now because I started talking to someone and it helps. So, you know, if you know somebody who needs help, help them get help.
I know I sound like I'm just going in circles, but right now I'm just trying not to get choked up, man.
No, you're good, bro.
You know, I had mental health issues and I didn't even know it. She taught me about mental health. You know, I never took it serious. I had suicidal thoughts growing up my whole life. I don't have those anymore. Talking helps. It really does. So.
Yeah. I mean, me and Dan couldn't agree more. I think mm-hmm. the stigma as a man is probably when we were kids that you didn't want to show any sign of weakness because what did you get told by, you know, maybe your dad or other fatherly figures, maybe kids that were older than you. It's like, hey man, like, you know, man up or like, don't cry. That's like, you know, like girls cry, stuff like that.
Bro, my dad used to call me a sissy for crying, bro.
You call you a sissy. Like, you like that, that was probably like the number one word I probably hear like a lot, you know? And it's like, you hear that so much when you're a kid, you kind of get conditioned and immune to it. But then as you get older and you realize like these things start to pile up, you're like, no one ever really tells you it's okay to like express these things. So like either you can release them so they're not bottled up no more, or you can better figure out how to handle these things so it doesn't negatively impact you, you know? But that's great, man. I'm glad you kind of overcame all that stuff and someone gave you the green light or something gave you the green light. Like, hey, it's okay to feel these things and move forward, talk to somebody, and those people are inviting enough to allow you to express those things without ridicule or shaming or anything like that.
Definitely. I didn't mean to get all choked up, and I'm not trying to turn this into one of those mental health videos because you guys do a great job. We could do that another time or whatever, but yeah.
It's all good.
No, you good, bro.
No script, man. We go from laughing to crying, bro. It's all good. It's not, these aren't the first tears that have been had on No Script, I think.
No script, bro. I'm reading the script you emailed me right now.
Man, this ain't the NFL, man. This ain't scripted.
Scripted.
No, that's good, man. I mean, a lot of this stuff, it's needed. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, man.
You know, I mean, it's tremendous strength.
There's probably a bunch of people out there that need to hear that too, man, for sure.
Yeah, and I may not talk to you guys. You know, I haven't talked to you or seen you guys in years, but I watch you from afar, you know, social media, whatever, and you guys are doing good. You know, I'm happy for you guys. I mean, and I love the podcast, bro. I'm telling you, I re-listened to it, the whole thing, in 3 days, and bro, I was just laughing. And then, you guys talk about the mental health and everything and the fitness, and I'm just like, man, you learn a lot from these guys. So keep up the good work, man. I'm proud of you guys, for real.
Appreciate it, man. That's why we do it.
Appreciate it. We appreciate it, bro. And it's like, it's nice to, like you said, we don't keep in touch a whole lot, but we do observe a lot of the people that we knew from the past, like from afar. Yeah. And I think Dan probably feels the same way. Like, I don't really have enemies. I don't have animosity towards anybody. I don't know what regular human being goes around hoping for somebody to fail. Yeah. You know, like, my whole thing growing up was like, man, I feel like my life doesn't mean anything if, like, my friends aren't doing well too, because it's like, that's like family to you, you know? And it's like, sure. And I don't just feel that way about, like, the close homies. It's like everybody that I had a great interaction with growing up, it's like, I don't want to see somebody like 10, 20 years from now and they're like homeless, or they're like, they're down bad and stuff like that. I want to hear about those. Like, yeah, man, I got married. I got these kids. I got this nice house. We moved here, mm-hmm. or I started this business. Like, that's great. Like, how does that not make you feel
good? Yeah. Yeah, man. It's just crazy. Those people that like want to see others fail. Like, I'm not doing as good as I want to do. So like, I don't want nobody doing better than me. Like, what? I'd love if somebody's doing better than me, good. Like, I don't want nobody to struggle. I don't want nobody to have a bad time. Like, it's just weird, man.
People, they got a PhD when you get the PhD, you know what I'm saying? Player's degree when you get your PhD, so.
For real, as soon as they see you on the come up, they want to start telling you, hey, you should have done this differently. Well, bro, you didn't do it, period. So how are you going to tell me to do it differently?
That's right.
We're not even on the same playing field. Like, Chandler just got a house or just moved into his house today. And I'm like super happy for him, man. Like, you know, buying a house, making like these huge purchases and investments, that's not easy, bro. So I think as an adult, it's expected. But your close friends and homies, like, they'll clap it up for you. They'll let you know, hey man, that's big time. Like, I'm happy for you.
For sure, man.
So this is good, man. This is
a good one. Dude, we name drop so many people from back in the day, dude.
I didn't drop no names. I ain't trying to get canceled. I said Mr. Holmgren, That's it. But he's a family friend, so we're cool.
There you go.
I mean, we talked, but I mean, just the old friends from back in the day, man. Like, I know, like, we talked about Irvin, Keandre, Jock, Miguel, like, all of them. Anybody that listens to this, if you happen to see this and listen to it, man, you hear your name, anybody's welcome to jump up on there.
Come on. Like, it'd be cool if we had, like, multiple people on. And I know, I think the most we've had at one time was, what, like, five?
Yeah, it Foster
was. And that was great, great engagement. I like that. But yeah, we got to do this again. John, obviously, you're welcome, dude. If you ever want to come back on and like chop it up about anything, sports, mental health, just BS about whatever.
Let me get in that top five. Let me get in them top fives, bro. I'll be playing with y'all when y'all play. I promise.
Oh, dude. Okay. All right. I'm with it, bro. And it's literally off the top. Like, I'll give Dan the subjects. I'm like, hey, we're going to do a top five draft of whatever, but I won't give him the subjects right away because I don't want him to formulate no plan.
So he gets to formulate. So, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm the mastermind behind this whole thing, but you know,
that's great.
Well, what you guys need to do is you guys need to get a guest who picks one for both of you. That way, it's
like,
on the
like
spot
a moderator,
for both of you. Yeah,
yeah, that'd be a good idea. That'd be a good idea. So that way, when whoever comes in to the session, like, okay, guys, these are the subjects, and like, oh shit, now that it's way, really a blind test between me and Dan.
It's mm-hmm. fair across the board.
Yeah. Before
so I'm gonna add. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying we're gonna add one more thing as far as promoting, but we're still looking for an episode to reach 100 listens, so we can hand out one free piece of merch, whether that be a hoodie, a T-shirt, any kind of apparel. I posted on my story about the entry qualifications. So obviously, the first stipulation is one episode has to reach 100 listens. And then in order for your name to be entered into the raffle, you have to be following one of our social media pages. Now, we have TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. If you follow all three of them, that's basically three entries for you in the raffle, triple your chances of getting chosen. And then we'll put that in a randomized number generator within the computer system, and it'll just randomly pick a name, and that's how we'll know who the winner is.
Yeah, and I was saying before, if it's a guest episode, whoever that guest is, they got to get one too. I feel like that's right.
100%. So if it's this one, Johnny will get something along 30, with 30, baby. Whoever else gets raffled. And then what our highest one so far is the one Mr. Hart, yep. right? So if that one happened to reach 100, give one out to Mr. Hart, that one would be big time.
Yeah, and before, like I was going to say right before we wrap up, Johnny, I messaged you about those tickets. Did you see the last message you sent me? This is from back in 2011?
Bro, yeah, I saw it earlier. I don't know what that was about.
You're probably going to have to like send it to me so I know what y'all talking about.
Yeah, send him a screenshot. Like
it's not for podcast.
I don't even know where that came from, bro. My bad.
There's no content, nothing before, nothing after. It's just that message that I never responded to. And
12 years ago,
in
bro.
Our senior year of high school.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, shit.
Well, thanks for having me, boys. Appreciate it.
No, this was awesome, John. Appreciate you coming on, man, and opening up and letting everybody know how you're doing. You have anything else you want to add before we sign everybody off?
Follow, listen to the pod.
Yeah, everybody needs to be like our boy John here. At least this man ran through all the episodes. We ain't even asking for that much. If he give us just like you know a few episodes here and there, that's great. John went above and beyond. So we got Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, all No Script Podcasts. Give us a follow, share with your friends. If you want to come on, just send us a DM. If you have a subject you want us to touch upon, let us know, and we'll try to fit that into the schedule. Got anything, Dan? We good?
Nah, man, we good.
Sweet. This has been the No Script Podcast.
We out.